want some sweet Stratisfaction.
Introducing first, from Toronto, Canada, Trish Stratus!
Stratisfaction!
Yes! 100% Stratisfaction! I'm down with that, all right!
You got a lot of charisma, you got good looks, you got a lot of wrestling ability, a lot of athletic ability. I'm impressed. I think you got a future in this business, kid.
Oh! With a Stratisfaction! And Trish has done it! Trish is a new women's champion!
WWE Diva of the Decade is Trish Stratus.
Oh! Trish!
Thank you so much. This is such an honor. Being named Diva of the Decade is certainly a highlight in my career. I'm still blown away by that.
That's the new Divas magazine, and oh, I'm on the cover. How good.
In my book, the greatest women's champion in WWE history.
One of the greatest divas ever. A seven-time women's champion.
I love this moment. I love this, and I love this.
What an ovation, and rightfully so, in her last match. One of Canada's greatest exports is going to have a night and a memory that will last forever.
Trish is another diva that set the bar for all types of young ladies that watch and said, you know what, I can be more than just a model or a spokesperson. I can be an athlete. I can really be a star. I can be Trish Stratus.
Thank you for coming on this amazing, awesome ride. Thank you.
Congratulations, Trish. There was never anyone any better.
I don't care what y'all say.
It's time to rock and roll. This time I'm in control. Right now I own the streets. Keys to the city. Yes, cause I get down.
And we are back here live on Ministry of Slam here at ministryofslam.com, our Hall of Fame special. And joining us right now, you can see the smiles across the studio, is of course the, how would you describe, incredible, beautiful,
gorgeous
diva of the Hall of Fame 2013 is Miss Trish Stratus. How are you doing, love?
I'm doing great. I was just going to see how many adjectives you could add to my name. That was lovely. Thank you.
We can add a few more if you like, Trish.
Well, maybe later.
Yeah, okay.
First of all, I suppose we better say congratulations on the induction into the 2013 Hall of Fame.
Boy, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, I'm so honoured and super excited.
It is. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a fantastic night over at Madison Square Garden. I suppose one of the first things I want to ask you then, Trish, is when it came about, you were asked to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, you know, the common question is, how did it make you feel then?
Well, it's crazy because I still feel like I was wrestling like last week, so I kind of forget that I've been retired for 7 years, you know? And so it was kind of like, oh my God, isn't it early? Like, it feels early. And then I realized, yes, I've been retired for 7 years. And just excited. I mean, I got the news just before the year ended, and knowing I was kind of going to come into this 2013, it'd be an exciting year and something to look forward to. And then, of course, when I heard the caliber of talent going in this year, I'm just honored. I think it's amazing. I'm still blown away, and of course, the fan in me is like tickled, and I can't wait to meet Bruno Sammartino, and it's very exciting. So I'm honored and to be alongside with these, you know, people that are being inducted, like Bob and Mick and Bruno is quite amazing.
Well, that's it. I mean, this year's Hall of Fame seems to be an absolutely stacked card. Until obviously you've got Bruno, Bob, Mick, yourself, and Donald Trump, which is, you know, less people, but for lack of a better term, there's a lot more quality to the Hall of Fame this year than previous. Would you agree?
I think so, yeah. That's what it feels like. It feels like each one is like the headline of a different, you know, Hall of Fame. So just to have them all at once is pretty amazing. And to be part of it, I mean, I'm still like, as a fan, I'm tickled as well. Like, I'm like, oh my God, this is so awesome. But yeah, it's quite amazing. I think it's going to be an amazing evening.
Well, before we go to, I'm going to hand you over to Jamie in a second. He's going to look into your career a little bit. But one of the things I want to ask you, Trish, is what are you doing now? What are you doing with yourself now that you've been retired for a while? Give us an insight into the life of Trish Stratus since she's left professional wrestling.
Well, my life has, I've been sort of devoted to developing my brand, which is Stratosphere. And it sort of started from me, I guess, when I retired. Well, I retired from wrestling in 2006, and I left wrestling with a love of yoga because I had a herniated disc. About 2004 is when I had a herniated disc, and I was forced to go and find something, some solution. And surgery was one of the options, which I didn't want to take. And then physiotherapy didn't work for me. And so yoga, believe it or not, was what changed. I mean, I did it for 2.5 months and completely reversed the damage and went back to have, I would say, my strongest, physically my strongest presence in my entire career those last couple of years. So when I left, it was something that I delved into, and you know, I got certified as a teacher. I studied all over the world, and it was just something I loved to do. And then my first business venture was, I thought, you know, I've been telling people about yoga, and I thought, let me just, you know, put my money where my words are and go ahead and open up the studio. So in 2008, I opened up a yoga studio called Stratosphere, just north of Toronto. And then it just, you know, I've been focusing on the brand, and I just, you know, it's funny because I came from a fitness background. So I started in the fitness world, and I was spreading the word of health and fitness. And now it kind of came full circle where I was, you know, it's pretty amazing to see. I know how yoga impacted me, but to see people day to day come into the yoga studio and you see how, you know, you get people that are affected by yoga by like, oh, look at the inches I lost and my butt looks good. But then you get people that are like, they've really, like, yoga has affected them, that they've changed their lives and their outlook on life has changed. And it's pretty powerful stuff. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with DDP too. He's doing some amazing work with Jake the Snake and Scott Hall as well, and it's through yoga. And so my mission was to spread the word of yoga, and so then from there I started developing my brand further, and now I have a product line in stores across Canada, and I have DVDs, which I'd love to send you guys because I think you guys should try some Stratosphere yoga.
Yeah. I would like to.
I was going
to
say,
now that you're on the spot and it's live, you have to say yes.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. I think I'm going to send you
anything you want, Trish.
I love that influence. Fantastic.
Trish, I'm going to carry on.
No, that's it. And then really just that's what I've been doing is, you know, aligning myself with great partners like New Balance. I became the new face of New Balance. I don't know if you guys have that running shoe. And do you guys have that running shoe? New Balance running shoe?
I don't think we do.
I think we used to.
I don't run, so I've never seen a shoe before.
Okay, noted. I'm going to send you New Balance shoes as well as Stratosphere yoga.
Yeah, this is great.
yeah, and that's it. And just, you know, spreading my word and getting people healthy and fit.
Free stuff from Trish Stratus. I can't believe it.
Oh, definitely.
Right, I'm going to pass you over to Jamie. Jamie's going to go a little bit of in-depth into your career at the moment. So, Jamie, it's all yours.
Yeah, Trish, you debuted in the WWE in 2000 very much as a valet, and I think it's fair to say you were there during that era as eye candy. But you actually leave a legacy behind in WWE as one of the most accomplished and loved divas in the company's history. Looking back to how you broke into the wrestling business, how proud are you of what you managed to achieve?
Oh, I'm really proud. I mean, I'm proud of what we accomplished as women as a whole and how we changed the perception of what women's wrestling was, or, I mean, what the role of women was in sports entertainment actually entirely. So I'm certainly proud of that. You know, and watching little girls coming up to us, I remember, I'll never forget that sort of, you know, I was hot and guys were, you know, the cat calls and, the, you know, they would whistle and yes, that's great. But when you get a girl coming up to you and saying, I think you're amazing, and I think what you do, you show that, you know, you can go after your goals, and you're a strong, powerful woman, and to be a woman in being successful or being, you know, prominent in a male-dominated world was pretty awesome, and so to see that impact was quite fascinating, and yeah, very proud of that, and thankful for the opportunity to be able to do that.
Cool. Looking back then on all that you did achieve in the WWE, is it possible, it might not be, but is it possible to pick out just one moment which stands out for you personally as your finest?
Impossible. But I will try. I would say that, I know it sounds crazy, but my retirement match to me, yep. I mean, it's bittersweet because I was on my way out, so obviously it's hard to say that my favorite wrestling moment was when I left, but it was because of what it represented. You know, it was a culmination of my career. I can't believe I went out as champion. I didn't know I was going to until, you know, the end. And so, and to be able to work with Lita for that and what we did in my hometown, just everything about it was just an amazing, you know, if you had to put together, like, let's put together the most ideal moment ever, that would be it. And so, yeah, that definitely stands out because it kind of culminated my entire career to this moment. And you know, my I'll never forget the reaction when I did the sharpshooter. That was a moment I'll never forget. And I think the fans appreciated that as well. And so that was pretty special to me.
Fantastic, Trish. It's Andrew here now. And what I want to ask you is, do you think the way that WWE are bringing models into the company now and trying to turn them into divas, professional wrestlers, is kind of an influence on the way that you came into the wrestling business? Like, in the 80s, we saw a lot of WWE trying to repeat Hulk Hogan by bringing in guys such as Ultimate Warrior, Lex Luger, and taking that bodybuilder look and trying to turn them into a wrestler. Do you think because you came in as a model and became so successful that WWE are trying to do that kind of similar thing? And we've seen that with girls like Kelly Kelly and the Bella Twins and people like that.
Well, I think what is missing, though, I think that formula can definitely work. Obviously, I've done it, and we've, and you know, it can work. But what's missing is, I truly believe the valet transition is so important. It's like the minor leagues, you know, of like of with your learning field. I mean, me and Lita did it, and another person who I think had a strong wrestling in-ring wrestling persona was someone like Melina.
Yeah.
You know, someone who was his valet, got a chance to fully develop their character. You develop your character outside the ring, so you're new and you're green, because believe me, coming into this world is crazy and there's so much to learn, and you're a fan too, so you're just overwhelmed, or I hope you're a fan anyway coming into it and you're overwhelmed. But you know, when you're brought in and hey, you're a girl, so you should be a women's wrestler, it's just, I don't think it's the way to go. I think even if you can wrestle, because I came into the wrestling world as a valet, but I had 6 months of training, so I could technically wrestle, I just hadn't wrestled professionally yet. But the fact that I was able to you know, get my feet wet as a valet first, I learned so much ringside. You know, on the apron, watching the guys work, you watch them, you watch their movements, you see what one single movement would evoke an emotion, you could see facials, you could see what really worked. And so that's the stuff that you drew on. When it was my turn to get into the ring, that's what I drew on, that's what allowed me to be a better performer. And I think that's what's missing, because, you know, you kind of have a girl, like I said, and you kind of throw them in the ring, and it's like, this is so-and-so, cheer her, or, and hey, listen, it's really hard, this girl's super hot, boo her, that's really hard. But if you're this malicious, you know, evil valet, like, you know, Melina and myself was at one point, that's a lot easier to take that evil character, then put her in the ring, then you can boo her when she wrestles, and then when she cheats, etc., and it makes sense, you know. So I think that definitely the model to wrestler formula can work, but we got to just get some depth of character going and really understand that it's the characters that drive the matches and the stories. So I think if that was just that little, you know, that little joint there, if that bridge is put in there, then I think it can be very successful.
That's great, and that's actually some great advice for young women wrestlers that are coming up. Mm-hmm. What I want to ask you is there anybody who you've seen possibly in NXT or even in the TNA Knockouts division that you see that could be like the next Trish Stratus or the next Fabulous Moolah, the next kind of face of women's wrestling?
Well, I think Brooke is, Miss Tessmacher is, yep, amazing to me. She's doing some fantastic work, and she's exactly that example. I think she is an example of model turned wrestler. She embraces her beauty and her sexiness for sure, but I mean, she has a legit athleticism to her, and she really was, you can just tell when there's a fan of the business, you can tell when they're eager to soak it up. And I know that she worked really closely with Victoria, so Victoria would tell me, you know, she was always asking questions and wanting to get in there. And you know, you have to know your place. You have to know that when you're coming in to the world of wrestling, you're not going to just be there. You need to get there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
So she, to sit back and ask questions and take it all in first, and then you can eventually, when it's your time to be there, you can be there and be more, you can leave more of an impact. And I think she's done such a great job. And I really enjoy her work. I think she's great, and she understands her character, and she embraces her sexiness, but has this, like I said, this underlying athleticism that is key as well. And I think, you know, Eve was really good at doing that as well. They remind me of the same, you know, thing that I feel like I represented, which is, you know, get the sexiness, do the sexiness, but that's not what you're doing out there. That just it's like a side effect of what you're doing. Your sexiness is there, but what you're really doing is your work. So I think both of those two girls really exemplified that.
So Trish, during your time in WWE and even afterwards, you know, you had experiences wrestling and just generally travelling the world, in particular here in the UK and also in Scotland. Now what I want to ask you, Trish, is do you have any memories of being in the UK? I won't say specifically Scotland because I know we are quite memorable ourselves. But do you have any particular memories of being in the UK and even just the UK fans in general?
Well, I got to do a really cool thing. I was, we were performing in, I guess it's Birmingham, I got to do this silly little thing where Robin Hood, is it Sherwood Forest or whatever, right? So there was this touristy thing where you got to go, and of course, there was a show, I don't know if you remember, it was called Confidential. Okay, so I put on, don't ask me why I did this, because this is just the kind of thing that I did because I'm nuts like this, but I decided I would put on a felt Robin Hood costume for my scene, which of course they were like, are you sure you want to wear that for this? You're going to look silly. I'm like, no, I like it. It's silly. But it was cool because I embraced it and I really got into the character and I got to like kind of understand it. And I got a tour of, you know, the castle there. And it was very cool to me because sometimes you kind of go into these towns and they're just, one town is like another town. You get to sort of just, you know, arenas, hotels and airports. Mm-hmm. And to me, I got to really see the place and I got the tour that was personalized. And I even wore that silly thing into the ring that night when I wrestled. So I think that was kind of a special memory. And, you know, fish and chips has been a very big thing for me. there. So I don't know if it's just like Canada and the UK that have this amazing fish and chips like fondness, but would love it. And there's a lot of fish and chip shops here, and that's my go-to cheat treat. So and one time I had come over, I kind of came over just for the fish and chips, but it was also to honor a special friend. His name was Carl, and he was doing some work with his foundation, and I came over for a special event that was honoring him. And that was, you know, kind of cool because I had met him at that Birmingham event. And so yeah, there's some neat moments that definitely I'll never forget.
And also just to finish off, you're building your brand and you want to get this worldwide. Do you have any plans to come and visit us again anytime soon?
Are you saying you want me to come there and give you a personal yoga session?
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
Calm down, Chris. You're mad.
If you can assemble a few hundred Stratospherians, we can have a mega yoga session in Scotland. What do you say?
Do you know what? I'll tell you what. I know you might just be kidding on in the back of your head there, but we'll have a wee chat off air. I think it's something that we could work out.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it then. Let's get some stuff rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we do that, I do want to just first of all, I want to say thank you very much for joining us here on the Ministry of Slam, and on behalf of everybody here in Scotland and the UK and listening worldwide on Ministry of Slam, I want to say all the best and congratulations once again. Get into the Hall of Fame in Madison Square Garden.
Well, thank you so much, and it was a great chat with you guys.